Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Zechariah. We're going to be looking at Zechariah chapters 9 through 14. That's six chapters. I don't know how much I can get to today, but let's see what we can find. But I'd like to read Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. "In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall be no more remembered. And I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land." Heavenly Father, help us today. Help us to understand your word. Help us to see Jesus Christ, my constant prayer. Help us to see the Lord Jesus Christ in your word as we study it today. Lord, bless the people. Whatever struggles they might have, please take care of them in Jesus' name. Amen. "In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David." There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The verse is talking about Calvary, the hill that Jesus Christ hung and died on. He gave his life as a ransom for many, and if we put our trust in him, we can go free. We can be changed, we can be delivered, we can receive a new life in heaven, of course, a place we get to go, but here on earth, he'll give us new life. The sin, the uncleanness, the difficulties, the struggles, the failures, if there's drug addiction, a broken home, whatever the case, Jesus is the answer. He is the answer for the problems that mankind faces. He's it. He is it. He is the answer. And throughout all history, Jesus Christ has been there. You can read through the Old Testament. In the beginning, God created, and go on until the end. Revelation, you'll find Jesus Christ. And you say, well, most of the people of the world don't care. Matter of fact, some folks in China or India or whatever, they don't even know his name. And that's true. That's true. But one day, on a hill called Mount Calvary, Jesus gave his life for the sins of the world. And there was a fountain opened. It says, to the house of David. We know that Jesus was the son of David. A fountain opened and blood poured out for the sin and uncleanness. He can change your life. There's no question about that. We had been taking a look at Isaiah chapter 6, and it paints a bleak picture. It shows that Israel would reject the Messiah. that they would choose to not follow God, and that there would be judgment that would be poured out. And today, yes, I understand that the nation of Israel is there now, but for 1900 years, they were not in their land. That's a judgment against them for the sin of rejecting God and for killing their Messiah. That chapter paints a bleak picture, but we saw and we studied that there's a return. We looked at Joseph, the life of Joseph, how his brothers threw him in a well, how he was carried off to Egypt, how he ended up in jail, but he ended up the second ruler in all of Egypt, and he saved his brothers when the famine came. Joseph saved his brothers when the famine came, and that is a picture, a foreshadowing, a picture, a type of Jesus when he returns. And with that introduction, I'd like to take a look. Again, there's 6 chapters here. I'm not going to make it to all of them. Every chapter has something good that I've underlined, and it talks about Christ, his first coming and his second coming, and that at his second coming, the Jews receive him. Just as Joseph's brothers, Reuben, Gad, Simeon, what have you, they all received him and rejoiced to see him. So too the Jews, when Jesus comes back, they will rejoice to see their Savior. And again, I'm not going to make it through all of these. But in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." And we know, and you should know, should remember, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey and had another one that was being led. Remember, the disciple went into town and took them and was told to say, "Hey, the Lord hath need of them." This verse right here in Zechariah chapter 9 prophesies of that time when Jesus rode into Jerusalem just a few days before he was crucified. And again, there's a lot here, and I wish that I could take the time to study them verse by verse, these 6 chapters, but I don't. But in verse 15 and 16, "The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar." This verse reminds me of Acts chapter 2 and also Isaiah chapter 28. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out and the disciples were filled like bowls, it says here, filled with the Spirit. And as we'll see as we study the rest of these chapters, what next? Let's go win the lost. Let's go preach the gospel. Let's win lost souls. "And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land." That verse, verse 16, speaks of when God saves Israel at the end of the tribulation period. But let's move on. Again, we read in verse 15 about the pouring out of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Chapter 10, verse 1, "Ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field." Again, a prophecy of the day of Pentecost, the former and the latter rain, as Joel said, and as Peter quoted. And we understand that Christ died on the cross. But at the end of Matthew chapter 28, it says that we're to be ambassadors for Christ, we're to be missionaries for Christ, we're to go into the whole world and preach the gospel. But, he said in Acts chapter 1, wait for the promise of the Father, the Spirit would be poured out, they would be given power to carry out the Great Commission, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And here in Zechariah, we read of the first coming and the second coming and the pouring out of the Spirit to win the lost. And also, we read of the last feast, Tabernacles, which is fulfilled in the new kingdom. I said it before, I'll say it again. God cares for the Jews. God loves the Jews. And if you don't love the Jews, if you hate Jews, I would not want to be in your shoes because you're fighting against God. I don't care if you're a deacon in your church. I don't care if you've been to a cemetery. If you hate Jews, God pretty much hates you. Again, God loves the Jews. And there's so very many prophecies throughout the Bible that tell of his love for them, and he will gather them and bring them back into the fold. He will graft them in again, as Paul said. Zechariah 10, verse 8. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. And they shall increase as they have increased. Today the Jews are scattered around the world. But when the end comes, it says God will hiss for them and gather them. They'll all end up in the land of Israel. And it says later on in a later chapter that all the nations of the world will be gathered against them to destroy them. But Jesus returns to rescue them. But the next verse, verse 9, and I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. To me, when I read this, verse 8 and 9 are reversed. Verse 9 ought to go before verse 8, but this is the way the Lord wrote it, and it's, I believe, an explanation. He'll hiss for them and gather them back into the kingdom that he prepared. But how is it that they had to be gathered? In AD 70, you may remember the story. In AD 70, Roman Emperor Titus, or whoever it was, came and destroyed Jerusalem and crucified 1.1 million Jews. Which is a horrible thing, I understand, but this is history. And from that time they were scattered. The ones that escaped, they fled Jerusalem. And there are Jews in Russia. There are Jews in South America. We know there are Jews in New York City. We even have Jews here in New Orleans. I'm sure that there are Jews in China, or pick your country. Pick your country. They're all over the world. And God said, he prophesied that he would sow them or distribute them among the people. And in these far countries, they would remember God. They would serve God in these distant countries. And everywhere they can, there's a synagogue. In some close countries, it's difficult for Christians and for Jews to have their places of worship. But they do. Everywhere they get a chance, they'll build a synagogue in that town or that city or what have you. And they remember God in these far countries, just as this verse 9 prophesied. And this is what is known as the diaspora, the dispersion of Israel into all the world. But let's move on. The next chapter, Zechariah chapter 11, let's look at verse 12 and 13. a familiar passage. Maybe you haven't read these two verses, but you know what it's talking about. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter. A goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Again, this is a wonderful prophecy of the passion of Christ. We know that Jesus was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. And if you read the Gospels, you get the story. But it says that he had a change of heart afterwards, and he tried to return the money, and he threw it at their feet before the Sanhedrin in the house of the Lord. And with that money, they bought a field, a potter's field. Again, what we read in the Gospels is a fulfillment of these prophecies here about Christ in the book of Zechariah. But let's move on. In Zechariah chapter 12, it talks about the second coming and the end of history as we know it, and the great battles that will occur when Israel is up against the wall, but Jesus Christ returns to rescue her. Again, as I said a while ago, God loves the Jews. And if you want to make yourself right with God, you ought to start loving them as well. They're the olive tree. We're just grafted in branches. We should have a correct perspective of God's understanding of the relationship between Christians and Jews. Christianity is a parenthesis in the plan of God. But God loves the Jews, and Jesus Christ returns for the Jews. Zechariah chapter 12. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundations of the earth, and who formed the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the people, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Many preachers through the years, and I've been a Christian since 1984, I've heard many preachers preach about the second coming and about the great tribulation and the battles that would occur and what have you. And they all said what I just read, that in the end, all nations would rise against Israel. And honestly, we see that. If you want to look at the UN, there's resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel. You look at the BDS movement here in America. What is it? Boycott, divest, and sanction. All the liberals, all the leftists, all the communists, socialists would have you in this country. They're dead set against Israel. And that mindset, that attitude, that hatred will one day come to a head. And during the tribulation period, it says all nations will come against Israel. But it says that God will make Israel a cup of trembling and a burdensome stone. Okay, people are trembling, people are burdened because of Israel. Many people want Israel to go away. The PLO wants to push Israel into the sea. But it says that all they that burden themselves with that stone, with Israel and Jerusalem and Judah, all they that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. I'll say that again. All the nations of the earth will be gathered against Israel to finally destroy it and finally get rid of the chosen people. But they're going to lose that battle. And every country that comes against Israel in that day, they'll be cut in pieces. And in verse 9 it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem." You know, they don't say it like that on NBC Nightly News, do they? But in verse 10, "And I will pour upon the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." You need to get that. You need to get that. If you ask a Jew today, who's the Messiah? They'll give some kind of answer. You ask, is Jesus the Messiah? They'll say, oh no, absolutely not. Absolutely, no, that's not. Christians, I don't know what they think, but no, he's not the Jewish Messiah. But one day, according to the Word of God, and the Word of God is true, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, that God will pour upon the house of David and the people in Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplications. They're going to come to their senses. They're going to repent of their sins. And it says they're going to look upon me whom they have pierced. Who was pierced? Thomas said, I won't believe until I touch the place in his hand and stick my hand in his side. They're going to look upon me whom they have pierced. The Jews will finally accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah in the end, at the tail end of the tribulation period. They're going to mourn for him. There's going to be a spirit of grace and supplications. And if we can get to it, it says they accept him. And again, I'm running out of time. Let's get one more. In chapter 13 of Zechariah, in verse 6, "And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? And he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Remember, the Jews killed Jesus. The religious crowd would have you. They nailed him to the cross. They said, hey, Romans, Pilate, we can't do it, you do it. But they nailed him to the cross. And he should have been angry. He should have what have you. But he said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And it's been 2,000 years, but when Jesus returns and they accept him and they ask him, what about these wounds in your hands? He's going to say, yeah, I know. I got the wounds in the house of my friends. He calls Israel his friends. Again, he loves Israel, and Jesus will return for his friends, the ones that he loves, the ones that he hung and bled and died for, because he loves the Jews, the nation of Israel.
In letters of crimson, God wrote his love on a hillside so long, long ago. For you and for me, Jesus died, and love's greatest story was told. I love you.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net and click the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 3111 46th Street, Metairie, Louisiana 7001. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.